that was difficult. You know, that would have been difficult because now they, you know, it went from where you used to have the cashier, the bagger, you know, no, the cashier now also does the bagging. You know, so they're trying to cross train in jobs. So a lot of jobs at, like before I lost my eye job, before I lost my eyesight, those sort of jobs aren't there now. So things that we could have fallen back on before, it's not there. You know, so then whatever job it is, like, okay, yeah, you can, you don't just do that all day. You have to be able to do this. Well, I can't be a cashier because the system that, you know, the computer system that they use for doing the cashier, that's going to be a problem. And the likelihood that, you know, so trying to get a job that's willing to just make a job for you, no, very difficult. So just trying to find something with the lack of skills that I had was very difficult. So it just got very discouraging and frustrating. So I just gave up.
Okay, I guess at this point, does anyone else have questions?
Hello, for Shonda?
Yes.
Hi, Shonda. I want to congratulate you for finding the job you seem to like, but also thank you for kind of, I guess in this area, and to be global, spearheading sort of to the largest employer in the world, or one of the largest employers in the world, you know, trying to make things accessible and accommodating for us with disabilities. And it seems very frustrating and sad that you're kind of you're a guinea pig, I guess, trying to help you with your employment. So I give you such credit for sticking with it and fighting through the system. And I use the word fight because I think we're all fighting. But congratulations again, and thank you.
Thank you. Well, you know what? The way I look at it, I don't mind being a guinea pig because the way the world is with how people, how we have the experience, somebody had to be the guinea pig. You know, somebody was the guinea pig for us. For,
absolutely.
You know, at some point, somebody has to be the guinea pig. And I don't mind.
Well, thank you. I love the attitude. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Shonda, this is Dawn Russell, the chair here. I just want to thank you for sharing your success story with us. Keep educating Amazon on the blind community. I love your attitude and how you you not only, you know, you're there for yourself, but you're also there for everybody else too. And you're speaking up for all of us. I want to thank you for that.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Shonda. This is Deb, fellow NFB member.
Hey, Deb!
Hey, I am not the least bit surprised at your steadfastness and your willingness to do all you do, and congratulations on your job.
Thank you.
And let's thank Anita as well for working with Shonda to make this happen. Thank you, Anita.
Yes, thank you, Anita.
You know.
I just also have to thank the CRP that made it happen as well. Which was Cara Pfeiffer, ILS.
Mm-hmm.
She also is, you know, part of the process as well. Shonda, you're awesome. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
But, you know, obviously we'll continue to work, you know, up until the 90 day, but, you know, you're always entitled to come back. Just do something else.
Oh, yeah.
Tired of Amazon.
But you know what? I so love what I do. I so love what I do. And you know what? Amazon, we'll leave Amazon alone. Because I'll tell you this. The Amazon, to work for Amazon, not the same Amazon that we get our wonderful in-today packages from. It's different. However, the number of people that work in that place, you couldn't ask for a better set of, like, there is not just one. The people that work there, they are phenomenal.
That's good to hear.
There are so many supportive co-workers, and they just do it out of the kindness of their heart. So there are so many good people. There's so many good people in that place.
That's good to hear. That's good. All right. Shonda, thank you for coming. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, and you all have a fabulous holiday, and take care, and be safe.
Thank you, Shonda.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
All right, later.
Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Before we move on, Dawn, from the consumer satisfaction.
Yes, we need to pick volunteers.
Thank you. Yes.
That was my next thing I was gonna say on my list.
Perfect. I have my list too. Perfect. Okay.
Yes, I think we forgot to pick volunteers. I'd like to volunteer myself for this work group.
Philip, volunteers.
All right. So we have me and Philip would like to.
Deb Reed.
John McNichol.
Anyone else?
Here too. This is Lucretia Jones.
Hi, Lucretia.
Hi, Don. How are you all?
We're good. We're so happy to hear your voice.
Oh, I'm happy to hear all of you, well, and thank you, Mary, for having this to happen this way. Thank you, Mary.
I've got another cell phone in my home phone that I can need it. But Dennis actually said he's got to leave early anyway because he's going on vacation. But we're all set with the quorum, so it's okay.
Now, is Lucretia volunteering for this?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I am, Dawn. Put me in.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that'd like to volunteer?
Just to clarify for the purpose of the meeting minutes, which work group are we referring to for these volunteers?
We are referring to the Consumer Satisfaction Survey work group.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So far we have myself, Philip, Deb, John McNichol, and Lucretia. Is there anybody else?
John Carnivola, I'll volunteer.
Thank you, John. All right, I think we have our volunteers for the work group.
Great, and I'll be in touch. I'll organize something in January, at some point in January, and then maybe we can meet a couple times before our next meeting. And if needed, we'll have Diana Cohen come.
All right, that sounds great. Okay, so Lucretia, we are looking forward to your membership report.
Okay, thank you everyone. Good morning. At our last meeting on September the 22nd, in my absence, Brian was kind enough. He shared the six new members that were appointed to our SRZ team. There were four who were reappointed, and two, we had two appointments. And if you go back and look in your minutes, you'll see the names in the various categories. Also, Karen Quanzel, representative in the Department of Labor, she left in November, her position, and she's not going to be able to stay with us. However, we have another person who is interested, and she's in the position from the Department of Labor, too, and her name is Kathy Marioni. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Currently, Mary Burgard, she's just waiting for some information to come from her, and then she'll send that off to the governor's office as a replacement. Our vacancies. Right now, we have two current membership vacancies, and they're in the category of the first one is the Workforce Investment Board, and the other one is in the Client Assistant Program. I do believe in the last minutes I recall that Brian did say there was an upcoming anticipated vacancy as well for Ms. Rose's position, and that was in the category of the recipient of services, because she's not going to be seeking reappointment. So that pretty much concludes the membership report. But since I wasn't here at the last meeting when Brian was with all of us, I just want to give my shout out to Brian and wish him as well a very good retirement. We're going to miss him. I appreciate, and we appreciate, all the work he has done as the Besby State Director. But we have somebody. We don't have to be alarmed, because until we fill Brian's position, we want to thank Mary Berger, for being our lead contact for the State Rehabilitation Council. So Mary will fill in those shoes until we fill that position. So that's pretty much it. That concludes my report. And if I left out anything, Mary, I'll ask that you add it.
Thank you, Lucretia. No, it was perfect. I do see that we do have a few vacancies, and I don't know that Brian was in the process of working on them, but I do have two people in mind, especially for the Client Assistance Program representative, that I'll reach out to that person. And I have somebody in mind for the Workforce Investment Board rep. But if it's okay with you guys, I'll just reach out to both of them. The recipient of services, I can ask some of the counselors if they have anybody in mind, if that works as well.
That sounds good.
Yeah, so I'll reach out to them. I do, you know, especially the Client Assistance Program, especially since we, you know, fell short on our client survey. It would be nice to have somebody representing us. So I'll say that. We do have a new person working over there. His name's Tom. So I'll ask him and see if he'd be interested. Great. Thank you, Lucretia. No, it was perfect.
You're welcome.
And Kathy McMarioni, actually, just to add, I did reach out to her because Karen Quisnell left. She left it from the labor. She went to a new position at another state agency that doesn't fit the same criteria. And she recommended Kathy Marioni. So I asked Kathy, and she said she's interested. So we just need to get her information and submit it to the governor's office.
Okay. I want to thank Lucretia for her membership report and acknowledging Brian and Mary.
Pass that on to Brian. Every now and then he checks in. So I'll pass that on to him. No problem.
All right. So the next item on our agenda is state plan work group. We have 9 volunteers who are currently volunteering for the state plan work group. 6 of the volunteers are from the SRC council, and 3 volunteers are from the advisory board for visually impaired and blind. We have had 2 productive meetings so far, in which goals A and B were completed, and we're going to meet again on January 20th, 2022 via Teams. And then in March, our meeting in March, we'll be able to vote on the state plan as well. I believe that you'll be sent the state plan so you can review it. So we'll be ready for our March meeting. Is that how it's going to go, Mary?
Yeah, what Amy had spoken at our advisory board last week, that she was working on a timeline, because this is actually a revision of the state plan that needs to be done every 4 years. So we're still trying to figure out how much needs to be revised and the criteria. So we're still working on the timeline, but you know, we've made, like Dawn said, some great progress with our goals. We did have one suggestion to add another goal or to revise one of the goals, but for the most part, A and B are pretty much complete. You know, they're still in draft form. So when we do complete all of the goals, we'll present it to SRC and the advisory board to to comment or revise or do whatever. There's one more goal, which is goal C, and that goal is the Innovation and Expansion Funds goal, and that's our goal that really exists to allow us to spend money other than client services. So basically, the Voc Rehab funds have to be assigned to an individual to be able to access services. So this allows us to spend, money on the consumer satisfaction, for example, to spend money to go to conferences for Dawn to be able to participate in conferences, and a few other services. Like I know we had a goal to update our tech lab at BSBE, so that's what this is. So actually, that probably won't take that much time when we meet in January. So I'm assuming by this next meeting, January 20th, that we'll be done with our goals and we'll be ready to present them. If the timeline is quicker than the March meeting, we'll have to do a special meeting. But I at this point, I don't think it's going to be that way because we're already, almost into January. So I have a feeling we're right on schedule with our time on it. So.
Okay, that's great. The next, or does anybody have any questions about the state plant work group? Or okay, I'm going to go on to the next item, which is the SRC annual report, and it has been completed and sent to all, including the Secretary of State and RSA. The SRC annual report is also posted on the BSBE website. And then the next, does anybody have any questions about the annual report? Okay, so the next item is consumer satisfaction survey.
Yeah, that was duplicate. Yeah, that was a kind of a duplicate. We had it twice on the agenda, which we didn't need to. So we kind of covered that ready in the work group because it's technically
okay.
So we put it on as new business as well. So I think we covered it actually.
We really did. But we're good with that. What was that? Was that Phil?
Nope.
Oh, John?
Yeah, John McNichol, I think we beat it to death.
I was just going to say, we put a lot of time on it, so we needed two times on the agenda.
It's good to see that. I was trying to be professional. Okay.
Hold on, Philip, for Madam Chair regarding this agenda item.
Yes, Phil?
Just want to, I'm sure everyone recognized the fact that Shonda's little talk to us kind of confirmed the need for expanding that satisfaction survey because she's been a VR client for almost 17 years and the last 4 years looking for employment and luckily, just gotten out. Unfortunately, just recently, I don't know when she started, I don't know if it was mentioned, but it just shows that, some kinks along the way and it's good for us, the SRC and the BSBE, to know why it took so long. Was it her? Was it services? So I think that just shows the importance of knowing where we are and employed in general.
Definitely. I actually thought the same thing, Bill, when she was speaking. Oh, this is a good example.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree too. Thank you, Phil. All right. So let's move on. We have the Mary has the VR program update.
Okay. I'll try to make it quick. But just to kind of give you some updates on our staffing, we are pretty much full staffed in Voc Rehab. We actually have one position that is vacant, and that's Barry Rita's position of our transition coordinator. We met yesterday. We interviewed candidates just yesterday for the position, and we do have a recommendation out for hire, so hopefully that position will be film shortly. And we did have a fairly recent hire. I'm not sure if he was hired at our last SRC meeting, but we did have a new BR counselor start in the South Central region. He started in September, like mid-September, and he replaced Charlotta Copenhaver, who was in that position, and she moved over to be a transition counselor. So he started a few months ago, hit the ground running. He's really kind of jumped right in. And I know, I think we spoke in the past that we did hire a rehab technologist for the southern part of the state as well. She's been here for a few months, and we probably reported on that. But she has, you know, also hit the ground running and done a wonderful job just getting out and working with our clients down in the south western part of the state, the south central, just, you know, kind of a population that was really hard in the past, even pre-pandemic, to get to because we didn't have anybody reporting down there. So we've already seen a significant change in that region, just being able to get what they need quickly. And she's already going out and seeing individuals and in person, face-to-face. So she's been doing great. We are starting to see a lot of opportunities open up. One of the job titles and, you know, areas that took the biggest hit, has been the hospitality industry. So we're starting to see a lot of those positions opening up. We really just, you know, if you looked at some of our closures in last year, like nobody was working in those fields. So now we're starting to see an increase. Before pre-pandemic, we had a lot of individuals going into, like, working in hotels and in different areas, whether it be restaurants or, you know, customer service, and in that area has taken a big hit, but we're starting to see a lot of those positions opening up. We have had, you know, low opportunities to be able to do assessments, trial work experience, work-based learning, in those areas, in other areas. And then I would say in the last few months, you know, as things open up, we've been starting to see more individuals getting into those opportunities as well. More employers willing to let individuals come in and do assessments and work programs. Over the last year, our initiatives have really been to ensure that individuals are able to work from home, that they have the technology available, or being able to participate in virtual training programs or virtual programs, whether it be school or programs through the American Job Centers. Most of those programs, pretty much all of those programs, have gone online. So for the last year, almost to the day, we started an initiative to make sure that we were getting individuals laptops and the technology they need to be able to work virtually and participate in these programs. We collaborated with the Computers for the Blind, so we were able to get a discounted refurbished computers, you know, for individuals, and that has been, you know, very successful. We purchased quite a few computers over the last year. And things still continue to be virtual through a lot of the American Job Centers and other programs. Some are doing hybrid models where at the American Job Centers, there's five throughout the state. Some are allowing clients to individuals to come in and participate in person for trainings. But I would say for the most part, they are virtual as well. You know, and that's been one of the perks, I would say, of the pandemic, is just to be able to participate in a lot of virtual programs and trainings that we haven't been able to in the past. Being that our program is a national program, that we've been able to collaborate with a lot of agencies nationally. A lot of agencies have, through Rehab Service Administration, have developed community of practices, you know, in a lot of different areas, whether it be pre-employment transition services, veterans, there's a lot of different, community of practice that, you know, employment, just different, you know, programs that our staff have been able to participate in that we hadn't in the past. CSAVR, Council of State Administrators for Voc Rehab, and National Council for State Agencies for the Blind have national conferences twice a year, and we've been able to send on average about 10 different staff members to the conferences twice a year now. The NCSAB just ended in the beginning of December, and CSABR was in November, so that was very beneficial, and it's been a perk because it's so inexpensive to be able to participate in these programs virtually, whereas in the past we'd send maybe one or two people and it cost a lot of money to be able to travel out of state and go into these programs. There's also benefits of being in person, but virtual has been fine. They've done a great job organizing them. We've done a few events over the last couple months. October was National Employment for Individuals with Disabilities Month. We did a mentor day where we had four mentors speak to about 20 participants of our program. Some were in college, some in high school, or individuals looking for different careers participated, and it was very successful. We organized, in collaboration with the American Job Centers, the 9th annual collaborative resource event, which was online. So this is the second virtual event, and we participated, and we're active participants in it, and it was successful. So that's pretty much it for our program.
All right, thank you, Mary.
Welcome.
Are there any questions?
Philip, for Mary.
Go ahead, Phil.
Sorry for so many questions today. I think
okay.
The quarterly has a lot of things picked up. Thank you for that detailed report. It really is appreciated.
No problem.
With respect to the uptick in COVID, are there any plans to start reducing in-person services for the VR clients?
Not right. I actually probably should have explained that too. We currently still are teleworking, partially for staff. It's kind of a variety as far as how staff are doing it. Some individuals are working 100% teleworking. Some individuals are coming in 100% into the office. Some are 50%. So it's kind of all over the place. I think the plan is to continue that model, or at least a hybrid model of some sort. So right now, staff are kind of, seeing individuals at their comfort level or the comfort level of the our participants. So there is no hard fast rule as to whether you can or cannot. As long as individuals are using caution, they're wearing masks, state employees all have to be vaccinated or testing, per the governor. So as long as everyone's taking the proper precautions, they're able to go out and see individuals at this point. So staff have been doing that at their comfort level or on need. And again, a lot of it also depends on the individual, on whether they're comfortable individuals coming to their home or to their employer. Like I said, we have staff who are out, 100% of the time, going out and seeing individuals. So it definitely varies. But right now, I Andrew could probably even help, as he's going into the legislation update after where the pulse is as far as the governor's office. But I haven't heard anything that things are going to change.
Thank you so much.
The one thing that we may see that may change things is when someone, we've had this with some staff, well, I'm not sure someone VR staff, but it's all just a question of accident, is when someone finds that they've been exposed to someone who tested positive for COVID in their own household, for example, they are then going to need to quarantine themselves and get tested, and if they test negative, fine, but if during the time they're waiting to get the test result, they may need a little bit more often than before to cancel appointments, because there's going to be an uptick in people being exposed to someone with COVID and or getting COVID themselves. And even if they don't get very sick, and they can still sit at their laptop and do a lot of work and be on the phone and be, you know, obviously someone in this meeting could have COVID. It wouldn't hurt anyone else. So people can still work, but I suspect we're going to see an uptick. We already have in some other divisions of staff having to cancel appointments because they find that they've come into